Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Outdoor Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Well, I've got a resolution for you for New Year's. I don't make any resolutions because I've never kept one in my life. Hey, good morning, folks. I'm Tom Neubauer along with Dan Bush here on the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors. Sam Schmitz is producing, and I must admit, he's done a fine job in 2020, and I'm sure he'll continue to do it in 2021. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed, so you know, you never know what's going to happen, like Forrest Gump would say. You never know what you're going to get in that box of chocolates. But if you want to be part of the show, all you got to do is give us a call at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Or if you don't want to come on the air, you can just email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Good morning, Danny, and good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
Now, I say wacky walleyes as the possessive form. The wacky walleyes, cutting edge outdoors.
Is that what we say, walleyes?
Well, like a possessive. If that's Tom's van, I say this isn't Tom Van, I say Tom's van.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why, yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
anywho. Yeah, so I got lots to talk about today. But let's start with you, Tom. You've been out on the ice. Has your son been doing anything? What's your report?
Yeah, he's been on the ice. He's caught some bass in shallow water, a couple little pike, caught a bunch of small crappies, and some decent bluegills. A lot of those crappies that are in that 8-inch range that they're just not quite big enough to keep, you know? And I've talked to a few other guys that, yep, they're catching fish in some back bays that are, you know, got 4 or 5 inches of ice, so they're pretty safe. So yeah, it's ice fishing has started. Guys are going out. They're just not out in the deep water lakes, you know, out in the middle, you know.
Well, I noticed John Gillespie and I think Larry Smith both, their shows have been pretty much the ice fishing the last week.
Oh, yeah, and one was in Minnesota, one was in northern Wisconsin, so.
Yeah, yeah, so yes, 'tis the season. We had the late season, we had the antlerless hunt. I think that ended January 1st. I didn't know anybody that went out there and really took much advantage of that. I know they're trying to knock down some of the antlerless deer, but I don't know if that many people got out or not. I think more people are switching gears. They're you know, and getting into the fishing. Although there is some late season, you can hunt squirrels through January 31st. Rabbit, I believe, goes through the end of February. So if a guy wants to get out and get some good exercise, like I like to do, I don't mind if I can just go and walk miles in the snow for a couple hours. And whether I get a chance to pull the trigger or not, it's great exercise. You feel great being out in the fresh air. And I did manage to bag one bunny this week, though.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun trying to, it's a real challenge trying to stalk those things and spot them sitting. So if you can spot one sitting before, you know, because most of the time they bust you and you see them when they're running, and that's why people take shotguns for them. But if you can go, you know, especially on a nice fresh snow where you can walk quietly and see the fresh tracks that they, you know, put down early in the morning before they went to sit down in their little beds for the day, you can work along quietly and look along the trails, kind of look under the brush. You kind of got to know what to look for. Look for what looks like a round brown rock. And then if you look carefully and you see some fur and then you make out an eye or an ear, that's the bunny. The one I got, it's kind of funny. I glanced to my left and it was just hunching down under in the snow. You know, you could just barely see the top of its back, but managed to get it with a 22. So, yeah, that's some great sport. I really don't think a lot of people take advantage of it.
No, that was when I used to hunt, that was one of my favorite hunting things, you know. I mean, rabbits, squirrels, pheasant. I mean, that stuff I really enjoyed. And especially with the rabbits and the squirrels, you know, we've talked about that, how you got to, like, stalk them, you know. And it's always interesting. It's a lot of fun. And you got to keep your eyes open and your head on a swivel, you know, looking all over.
Speaking of squirrels, if a guy wants to get, you know, it might sound kind of crazy. People would think, why would you want to get a squirrel mount? But I've seen some pretty cool ones in taxidermy shops and bars and so forth. But now is the time that you'd want to get a squirrel to get mounted, because they got their thick winter coat on them. They actually are bigger and bushier. Yeah. A lot of the gray squirrels kind of get that little white tuft behind their ears this time of year.
Yep.
And so if you were going to get one, and some of the biggest fox squirrels I shot were this time of year, and I got, boy, a couple years ago, I got a 2.25 pound and a 2.5 pound, and they were just enormous. Not quite a 3 pounder like we get in Missouri, but if you were going to get one mounted, now would be the time to do it.
You know, it's funny you bring that up about squirrels. It was just a week or a couple weeks ago, my wife asked me, she says, why do those squirrels have a white tip like on the back of their ears? They didn't have it this summer. And I said, I have no clue, but every year they do, you know, but I have no clue why. Oh, and speaking of squirrels, did you see that on the news where that woman, I think it was out east someplace, she was attacked by a squirrel, and the squirrel has been attacking other people? Oh, man, that lady have a whole bunch of stitches. There was blood all over. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, crazy squirrel. Yeah,
so it must be
a rabbit squirrel or something.
Was this like a pet squirrel?
No. It was just a wild squirrel in the city, you know, where they lived, and it jumps out of a tree and attacks people. Yeah. And, you know,
now,
I'll tell you one thing. When I was a little kid, and we lived on 34th and Center and in Milwaukee, and the lady across the street from us, a squirrel jumped on her back and bit her in the back of the neck. I must have been about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old at the time, but I remember that, you know. So, and I don't know who they called. I don't think anybody went out with a shotgun or anything like that, but I think they called the police or the city animal control or something like that.
Yeah, I would think that you'd probably have to get rabies shots if you get bit unless they can capture the squirrel and cut its head off and test it or whatever they got to do.
Right. Oh, and I want to let everybody know, while I'm thinking about it, now, I don't know Kevin's last name, but Kevin from Jiffy Ice Drills is calling at 7 o'clock. We'll be talking Jiffy Drills. And Dale Stroshein from Wacky Walleye Guide Service is calling at 7:30. So we got a couple of, you know, good guests coming on the show today, Danny. Besides you and me, of course.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, back to the squirrel story.
Yeah.
You know, I've, you know, most hunters for years have sat up in tree stands and had squirrels running all around them. You know, my brother one time was with his wife, actually. That's when they weren't married. That's why she went with him, because once she got married, she didn't have to do that with him anymore. She'd already got him. But she'd go out in the woods and go up in his bow stand with him early in the morning. One time they had a big old fox squirrel sitting right on the stand next to their feet eating a nut. other times, you know, I've had them come down to within a couple feet of my head. I've had them go down the backside of the tree. But, you know, I'm not one to let them just, you know, sit there. I try and make some noise to kind of spook them, because I'm not comfortable with them getting that close.
No, me neither. It's a wild animal, you know.
And just, and especially now with your story about these ninja squirrels leaping out of trees, backing people, you know, biting people in the neck. Now
well,
I'm especially nervous.
On the news show, that one that was out east, I mean, there was a lot of blood on the snow. That lady showed her hands and that, oh, man, she was bit up bad, real bad. Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, they bite through nuts. They're a rodent.
Yeah.
I mean, like a rat, you know. And so, yeah, of course they could have a bad bite. You know, interesting, you talk about rabies. I can't recall if I talked about this last week or not, because I'm getting old and forgetful. But I read several stories recently about rabid deer attacking people.
Yeah, I read those two. I heard about that.
and I'd never thought of a rabid deer. But, yeah, and some people have gotten, you know, hurt pretty bad by them. So it sounds crazy, but, you know, people, you know, especially they're, you know, feeding all these deer by hand in their backyard and so forth. Again, it's a wild animal. So, sure, what are the odds that you're going to have a rabid deer? One out of millions, right? Think about all the deer out there.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, millions, but, you know, you don't want that one in a million to be you. So, yeah, I guess the moral of the story there is wild animals are wild animals, and they're meant to be left alone. You also talked about, now, wolves. We've got the wolves in Wisconsin, and now they've been delisted, I guess, across the lower 48 now. So now we can hopefully have a hunt for those next fall.
I was going to say that I read that back in earlier in 2020, the DNR said that if the wolves were delisted, they were going to have a hunt this winter. Well, that's been backed off. They're not doing it right away. It's supposedly going to be the way they put it was, if the wolves don't get listed again, or if they stay delisted, then there'll be a hunt in November.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they're waiting. This is what I don't get. Why are they waiting?
Well, because they don't know whether the whole thing's going to be put on hold again.
Well,
so,
you know, do it. Put a season up quick before anything can happen, you know.
Well, it's not like everybody's going to jump out and go hunt wolves tomorrow, Tom.
No, but I bet you there'd be quite a few if you said, okay, buy your, you know, license to hunt wolves, and we're going to have a season in February, you know. I mean, I bet you a lot of people might. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be like in November. You know.
They're not going to make it that simple, though, because it's not going to be like buying your pheasant license. They're going to do it like on a drawing and point basis, like they did before.
You know,
just like the black bear.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to see? That anybody can buy a license and you can hunt any time of the year for a wolf.
Yeah,
buy a license and hunt a wolf. And then if they want to keep it to a certain amount, okay, only sell 1,000 licenses or something, you know. But you can go any time of the year. Don't restrict people into only going on a certain month, you know.
Well, would you hunt wolves if you could?
Well, no, I don't hunt anymore.
Well, then why do you even care?
Well, because I'm the voice of thousands of people who do care.
You're telling me how you would like to see the season, and you wouldn't even...
Yeah, well, because I'm the voice of many people. I have, you and I happen to be lucky individuals that we can voice our opinions on the radio, and a lot of times, you know, we're repeating what we hear, you know, from our listeners that are, you know, emailing us or calling us or talking to us when they see us, you know. I don't want to sound like a braggadocious person, but I do, I think at times I do have my finger on the pulse of the society, which is leaning one way or another. Like when it comes to wolves, most people don't want them around, you know, but there are a few that do. So, but I'm just voicing that opinion of which I hear from many people. That's all.
Speaking of what you hear, I heard now somebody was, I forget who, somebody told me that the wolves weren't planted in Wisconsin.
That's what I heard. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I heard that they were.
I Googled it, and they basically two sites said that that's a misnomer, that it's a misconception,
that they weren't.
They naturally populated and came on in. Now, in Colorado, I'm reading an article now that in Colorado, they actually passed the voter initiative to release wolves.
Yeah, I brought that up a few weeks back.
In Colorado, gee, you know what? I know we want, you know, wildlife to be reestablished in like the good old days, when wolves were wolves and villagers were scared, but I really don't think they need to be releasing wolves in Colorado.
I don't think so either.
I'm sure the hunters aren't too keen on that.
I don't think so. But one thing we are keen on, and that's...
We got to go to break right now, Tom. Yep. It's 6:15. I got a clock in front of me.
There you go, buddy. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, folks. You stay tuned. You are listening to the Wacky Walleyes with an S. Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush, along with Tom Neubauer, the best bass fisherman I know.
There's a lot better ones, I'll tell you that.
No, you're the best one. I wanted to ask you a question on the bass fishing now, because I mentioned, I think, last week's show, Lake Okeechobee down in Florida is on fire right now for the shiner bite for the bass. Dr. Sandy was down there, and he got his first 10-pounder, and then another day they got one every 9 minutes. They got 39 bass. His biggest was 7 pounds. And that's on those wild shiners, which I think they cost about $10 a piece for each shiner.
What the guys do down there is they catch the wild shiners first. That's what the guides do. They catch them first, and then, you know, go, because yeah, they are expensive otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guides catch them, but it's not like they get them to the client for free. The client still has to pay about $100 for the load of shiners, plus $450 for the day of guiding.
Yeah.
So,
you know, a funny story about that down there. One time I was doing a seminar down in Orlando and talking about bass fishing and plastics and that. And a question from the audience member was, the guy asked me, he says, well, how do you like to rig your shiners, you know, for bass fishing? And I says, I don't have a clue. I said, I never done that. I says, ask somebody who's done that. I said, I don't know.
So that's what I was just going to ask you, Tom. How do you rig the shiners?
I never did that. No.
I mean, do they use a circle hook or do they use a small treble, I guess?
Well, they don't use trebles. I know that.
Yeah, well, I think it's, what's it called, the vegetation? Is that called hydrilla or something like that, the weeds that are there?
Yeah, there's hydrilla. I'm just trying to remember. God, I've forgotten so much. Yeah, hydrilla is one of them. Yeah, yeah.
And apparently they fish in these areas along the edges of these dense, you know, weeds, and they put the shiner right on the edge, and those bass come out of the thick stuff to take those shiners.
Yeah, and they usually use balloons for floats.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Which, I don't know, why wouldn't you just use a regular bobber?
I don't know.
I'll have to go down there and try it sometime, Tom.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. The other bass question I have for you is, did you ever belong to, like, I got a thing in the mail where I can join Bassmasters for $12 and get the magazine and so forth. And then it says you're eligible to enter tournaments. Did you participate in that? Was that an organization?
Yeah, I was in a BASS affiliate club early. As a matter of fact, the way they do things is that you have club tournaments, and if you do good in your club, you get to go to there's four regions in Wisconsin. You get to go to a regional tournament. Okay. And then if you do good at the regional tournament, you can go to the state tournament. And then if you do good at the state tournament, you become part of the state team that fishes in a national regional tournament. And I did that 2 years in a row that I was in the club. You know, did good at the club level, did good at the regional. As a matter of fact, that was at Big Cedar Lake. And I think I had five fish with 15 pounds. And then the state tournament. And then the regional. Then you become part of the state team and go to the regional national. So, yeah, 2 years in a row, you know, I just kind of lost interest.
So the reason, I think
I'll
for
tell
12...
you the reason being, you know, why I lost interest, Danny, was because at the national tournament, there was no money involved. And I said, well, if there's no money involved, hell with it, I ain't going.
Why would you spend all that money in travel and lodging and everything else just to win a ribbon or a trophy?
Exactly, yeah.
I suppose bragging rights, maybe,
well,
I guess.
There was something involved. If you won that regional tournament, then you got a berth in the Bassmaster Classic, which you could win money. But, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but hey, people have done it, you know, so.
I think, Tom, I'm going to send in my $12 because I'll get a magazine, and you want to know how they get me on all these deals? Like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Pheasants Forever. I'll get a free hat.
You get a lot of hats, buddy.
So I'll tell you what, if they give you a free hat or a free, even better, a free knife, you'll get a free hat, free knife, sweater or something, then they got me.
You know what I don't understand? And my wife brought this up first. She says, you know, on the TV, a lot of these places like, you know, St. Jude's Children's Hospital, other places, you know, animal welfare, whatever, they want you to donate money. And they say, and if you donate, we'll give you this really nice blanket, or we'll give you this, or we'll give you that. And my wife says, well, if they need the money for these, outfits, why give away free stuff? Keep that money that you paid, you know, for that blanket or whatever. You know, why give people free? They're giving free stuff out of the kind. I mean, they're giving their money out of the kindness of their heart. They're not expecting something. You know what I mean?
Right,
and Tom, put to a better use. Yeah.
I've actually got a couple of those blankets. I use one in my shooting bag. It's part of my rest when I put it on the shooting bench. I use my St. Jude Children's Hospital blanket. But what they should do, like some places do, is, like the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, you can donate money, and they'd send you a free book. And they got some pretty good, you know, uplifting books and so forth. But you can check a box, I believe, that if you don't want the book. So they should make it where you can decline, because I would have declined my free blanket, like your wife said.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah,
now, we don't go with that $19 a month. We just send a check, and you don't get a blanket if you just send a check.
Well, that's what I would prefer to do as well.
Yeah, so that's what we do instead.
But you know, there's some good causes out there. I mentioned the Salvation Army. I was involved with them. I think the St. Jude's Children's Hospitals of Wisconsin. I know our station has done the toy drive for years. But the ones that are driving me nuts right now, Tom, the political. I donated $20 or $25 a month ago to the Kelly Loeffler's Georgia campaign, right? Well, once you get on their radar, I'm getting at least five emails a day and five text messages a day every day asking for more donations. And if you send it now, we'll triple it, we'll quadruple it. And I'm thinking, you know, I hope that $20 or whatever I sent is being used for you doing some campaign ads down in Georgia, and that money isn't being used to pay for all the stuff I'm getting sent back to me.
Exactly, exactly. That's the weird thing about it. But, you know, Danny, we got to take another break. And but coming up next is the gut report. And so we got that. And after the 6:45 break, we have the Hornswoggle. So you don't want to miss anything, folks. We got a lot of interesting stuff coming up, a lot of interesting guests. We'll tell you more about that when we come back right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, who doesn't like coleslaw? I know I like coleslaw, and a lot of you, I'm sure, do too. And sometimes you're just looking for a good dressing to put on that coleslaw. Now, that coleslaw doesn't matter if it's shaved or if it's sliced thin or if it's very small pieces. You know, it all depends on how you like the texture of it. But here's a dressing that goes great. Now, this is the basic formula. You can double it or triple it depending on how much coleslaw you're going to use. A half a cup of mayonnaise, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 2 teaspoons of sugar, and then 1 teaspoon of celery seed is optional. And I'm telling you, if you follow that recipe, you will have an awesome tasting coleslaw. Trust me on this. Now, if you missed any of that, Sam I Am says you can go to our podcast. Sam, how do they go to the podcast to hear it all over again?
Just go to 1250amthefan.com. You'll look up podcast, click that, and then scroll down. There should be a Cutting Edge Outdoors, and then the most recent podcast is always on the top.
All righty. You got it, folks. So that's it. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. They're over there on 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. There's a reason why they've been in business a long time, folks, and that's because of price, service, and selection. You would not believe how many different wines, beers, and liquors that they have there. Just go to their website and find out. DiscountLiquorInc.com.
We're back with the Motor City Madman. This is the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors radio show. As Tom likes to say, we are live. We are unrehearsed. You never know what's coming up next. And Tom, can I talk a little bit of fish now?
Oh, I hope so.
Okay, so here we go. Now, Tom, you are a great bass fisherman, tournament angler, but you fished muskies and guided for muskies, so you were kind of all around.
Yeah,
fisherman
too, even yeah.
But you know, as far as kit, getting the 50-inch muskie, that's for many years back in the day. If you got one 50-inch muskie that was over 30 pounds, you pretty much had the fish of a lifetime. Well, some guy in Minnesota named Ben Knutson, on November 25th this year on Mille Lacs, he caught 2 muskies that were over 50 pounds, I guess. 2.
Holy moly.
So the story is that his fishing partner couldn't go with him that day, and he had been fishing quite a bit there. Apparently, they'd fished 16 days straight and caught 10 muskies, which, I mean, that's not fantastic. That's, you know, that's less than one a day. It's point something, you know, if you get 16 days and 10 fish. But they had gotten a 47-inch and I think maybe one 50-incher, if I recall right. But anyway, the day went out, he didn't have his partner to go with. So apparently on social media, I don't know which social media he used, Lake Link, Facebook, or whatever, he found a guy that he didn't even know to go out fishing with him. Well, you know, Tom, you know, that's that's kind of a risky proposition because you don't know if you're going to get some schleprock who's not going to be able to net a fish decent. So evidently he picked the right guy because this guy came along and he's throwing a lemon tail bulldog. It's the pounder one. And fishing these reefs where all the, I guess, the Ciscos and all the whatever are up spawning on them. And he caught the first one was 56.5 inches with a 27-inch girth. And if you use the formula, it'd be 51.5 pounds. The other one that he got later that day, because he didn't care what happened after that. You know, he's texting all his buddies. But the other guy, of course, wanted to keep fishing. Later on, he got a 53.25 with a 28.5-inch girth, and the formula put that at about 54 pounds. Both of them are, the Minnesota release record is 57.25. That was caught, I believe, in 2019 out of Vermilion. But the weight one, the official weight one, is 54 pounds out of, I want to say it's Winnebigosh, maybe in 1957. So those are a couple monster fish. But I want to ask you, Tom, if you caught one that you thought might be more than 54 pounds, might beat the state record, would you keep it?
I don't know. I don't know. I know if it would be a world record, I would.
Right.
But a state record, well, if it was a state our state record, it would be a world record.
You know,
but if
here's
it was
one thing, Tom.
I don't think so.
You know, I'm a little tired of all this weight formula type thing.
Yeah, I know.
I think, and I talked to a DNR guy about this, that you could carry with you a good certified scale and a weight sack, like the DNR uses, like some type of a deal like that, cradle or sack to weigh them with.
Like
the net, like you get we've got the big rubberized coated nets now that we use for muskies. What if a guy were just to buy one of the replacement nets and just kept that in your boat and you just could put the fish in that and then hook, you know, you could hook your scale right up to that and you could have your own little weigh sack right with you. But I'd really like to see the real weight on the fish as opposed to this formula weight, because that's not always... You know, it could be the fish could weigh more, it could weigh less. Who knows?
Yeah, I agree 100% that those formulas are not always accurate. Yeah, it could be up or down. And in my experience, the fish actually usually weighs less than what the formula says.
Right. Well, now this leads to my next story here, Tom. So, as you know, I live on the lake here, and I like to set my tip-ups out on the ice out here, and I just look out the window, right? And it's great. So I set them up this morning, and, you know, I keep a close eye on it, so I'm looking out at least every minute to make sure that I'm not leaving them unattended. Sure enough, I look out there, I see a flag pop. I run out there, and I'm fighting this fish for a while, and I'm thinking, hey, it's made some good runs. This isn't just any little 20-inch snake fish. So I caught it, and it turned out to be a big, fat northern pushing 33 inches.
Wow,
so,
that was this morning?
Yesterday morning.
Oh, yesterday,
yesterday
morning.
Morning. Now, if I could set them up, I could probably catch a fish this morning, except I got a major radio show to do with you right now. But
yeah, I know. I
as soon as the
say,
show's
yeah,
over...
If you're not there, then I know where you are. You're out on the ice pulling in a fish.
Right.
On the air.
So I'll tell you what, it was a great way to start the year. And I've let all these northerns that I've caught this year trolling for muskies, I've let all of them go, including some maybe 35, 36 inchers. But this one, Tom, I kept it. It was legal. I filleted it. I got 1.75 pounds worth of meat off that thing.
That's
great. Yeah, some great...
The northern pike are wonderful eating fish.
Well, yeah, I know you like to eat pike, too.
Yeah.
And then I was down to 2 shiners, because I only started the day with 3, being the cheapskate that I am. And then I had 2 tip-ups out there. Then I caught a second fish. And then I thought, well, I better pull this one in and go get more shiners. I went back out, caught a 3rd pike. The other pike, they were around 26 to 28 inches, nice and fat and feisty, so it's still fun getting flags. But right before dark, right when I'm, You know, here's what I'm doing. I'm multitasking, Tom. I'm trying to prepare for the show, and at the same time, I'm watching my tip-ups. So I'm cruising the internet, and I found this Minnesota Muskie story, and I'm looking at a picture of this giant 56 and a half inch fish this guy has, and I look on out and see the flag pop on out on the ice. So I throw on my stuff and run on out there, and it was kind of like a weird coincidence that I'm looking at that big muskie on the internet, because I get out there and I'm fighting this fish for 10 minutes and I'd never even seen the doggone thing.
Oh.
I'd get it close to the hole and it would go powering off. Now, I've caught 20 to 25 pound northerns, literally, I have, through the ice before. And I'm thinking to myself, this thing has more power than I've ever felt. So finally, after about 10 minutes, I'm thinking, what have I got? And sure enough, I had a giant, giant muskie on. And I was using a circle hook, which I've been kind of experimenting with, and it was right perfect in the corner of the mouth. And so now I'm looking at this thing, and the only thing I could get, I could never see the whole length of its body. I could just get this big old giant head up to the hole, and it would look me in the eye, and then it would take off again.
Kind of like and the great white whale.
Yeah, that's what it was like. I'd see this big old eye and this giant head. Now, I'm going to tell you, Tom, it looked like the head of a 50-inch muskie. It was enormous. I guarantee this. I guarantee it was 4 foot and over 30 pounds. Whether it was 50 inches or not, I guess I'll never know. Now, I don't normally care to catch muskies through the ice. I'd rather not. I'm fishing for pike. And, you know, I catch muskies in the summertime. And I guess if you'd catch them in December now, it's legal. But, you know, I just as soon leave them alone.
Well,
and
what
I wish
happened?
They just... Well, the head, Tom, was too big. I couldn't get it into the hole. It because it's this giant head, I had an 8-inch hole. This giant head would come across the bottom. Being as I wasn't pulling from inside the mouth, that it was hooked right in the corner of the mouth, the head would go right underneath, and it was way longer than that. I couldn't get it steered into the hole, and it would just, and I couldn't force it because it would just, I was afraid it was going to tear off and wreck something. So I tried several times to reach down with my left hand as it's just laying there underneath and get my hand under the gill plate, and finally, after 2-3 times of trying that, the thing made a mighty roll as I tried to do it. The line got wrapped around my sleeve, and it broke me off. And there it was, gone. Now, well, I had the board laying right next to me because I'm thinking to myself, if I get this thing out, I just want to see how big it is. You know, because, I mean, there's muskies that have pushed 53, 54 inches out of Pewaukee here. And I thought, my God, this thing's huge. And I just wanted to get a quick measurement on it, and back down the hole it would go. But I guess it wasn't meant to be. A fish that big is not supposed to be pulled through the ice. But normally I don't even care. But, man, I just wanted to see how big that thing was after looking at that head.
Yes. Oh, man, that's awesome, though. Just to have it on and play with it that long, that's
awesome. I'll tell you what, it was a blast. I was sitting there kneeling down, and the lines run, you know how you let the line, the Dacron, run through your fingers? Well, I had nobody to help keep the line straight. So the line was getting wrapped around my boot, getting wrapped around the spool of the tip up, getting caught on edges of the ice. I'm trying to, and then the thing would run, and next thing you know, I had knots in my line on the tip that I'm, you know, somehow there were knots formed because it was getting all tangled up, and yet I'm fighting this fish. And it was just great. You know, it was the anticipation after that long of thinking, I got to see this thing. And when I saw the head on it, I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I've caught, you know, 44 inch muskie through the ice before. I've caught some, but the head on this thing was, and I, like I said, I've caught some, you know, 25 pound pike through the ice. I've seen the head on this thing dwarfs anything I've ever seen in a hole before.
Yeah. Well, how thick was the ice by you?
Yeah, it's about, I want to say it's about 5 to 6 inches.
All right.
The I saw the first snowmobile of the year go by. So, you know, some guys are starting to come on out. Now, not that I'm advising it to anybody, and everybody else, go at your own risk. But I'm guessing about 5-6 inches. I'll tell you what, that laser, that 8-inch laser hand auger really works nice. It's just not good for pulling in giant muskies through the ice. I'd have been better off with a 10-inch hole.
Hey, I got to tease you a little bit.
Okay.
Did that clock stop working on your computer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 6:46.
Okay. We got to go to a break, folks. Coming up next is the Hornswoggle, and that's brought to you by Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls. They're right on the corner of Pilgrim and Silver Spring. Stay tuned for more, and call right now if you want to be a contestant and maybe win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market. Call us at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. We'll be right back with more.
Okay, welcome back to Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. Hey, thanks for listening. We always take time to thank law enforcement out there. We back the badge, back the blue, the first responders, military, healthcare workers. Thanks to all of you, and thanks to all of our listeners right now, near and far. And do we have a contestant for the Hornswoggle?
Yes, today we got Zach in Menominee Falls.
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Hold on 1 second here.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, so we'll mention that the Hornswoggle is sponsored by Carl's Country Market. I try to make it a point every week to name some of the things they offer. If you take your wild game to them, how's this grab you? You can get some Pepper Jack summer sausage, some hot Pepper Jack summer sliced, smoked cheddarware, smoked Cajun, wieners, snack ticks, and Tex-Mex sticks. So they got and lots more. So Carl's Country Market, great place to go. And hopefully our winner will have a gift certificate for there. So good morning, Zach. You know how this works, buddy?
Yeah, I've heard it a couple times.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to make a statement. If I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. If I'm telling the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. Here we go. Walleyes. Walleyes are actually part of the pike family. That's why you'll sometimes see the meat advertised in restaurants as walleyed pike. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
It's a Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle!
Thank you for getting that one right.
Yeah. I knew Tom would like that one.
Sounded almost like a trick question, but...
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, you know your stuff. Okay, well, this next one, let's see. Walleyes and saugers look very similar. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I will say no Hornswoggle on that one.
No Hornswoggle. All right, you're a winner on that one. And let's see if you'd have gone 3 for 3. Walleyes rarely, if ever, feed at night. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Oh, that's a Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle, all right.
Boy, I'll tell you, Zach, he was deep for those.
Oh, yeah. Hold me some walleye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll put you on hold there. Make sure you leave your address and name there with Sam I Am, and I'll get that mailed out to you this week.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Take
good
care.
Luck. You know, Danny, that's always been one of my pet peeves when I go into a store and in the, you know, seafood section, they got walleyed pike, and I have been known to do this. My wife really gets mad at me for it, where I'll ask the butcher, I'll say, is that a walleye or is that a pike? Well, what do you mean? Well, I said, because there's no such thing as a walleyed pike. You know, what is it? And then they look at me like I'm trying to be a smartass, and I'm not, you know. they don't call it what it is. I mean, we all know it's a walleye, you know. But
you know,
got to throw that damn pike in there.
Now, speaking of pike, do they still? When I was a kid, Tom's Supermarket in Green Bay, it was your little local kind of small, like a tiny little Piggly Wiggly type place. But Tom's Supermarket had Northern Pike that they would sell, and I think they packaged it and called it Great Northern Pike.
Yeah, might be. You know, fish get different names all over the country, you know. They call that local colloquialisms. I know, try to say that three times fast. But the thing is that, yeah, you know, fish have different names. You know, they've got, like, local names for them. Even though they might not be the correct name, they just have local name. You know, like, remember when we were talking about lawyers the other day?
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the legal profession, but the fish. And a guy wrote in and said, well, what are other names of lawyers? And, you know, they're called burbot, eel pout, ling cod. So, you know, there's four names of them. And to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure which name is the correct one, you know, and which are just local names.
I think ling cod
is it.
Burbot, I think, is used by a lot of people. Now,
yeah.
I mentioned that the river up that runs through our property up there by Superior, the Nemadji River, has a winter run of lawyers where my uncles used to do this. They'd cut a hole in the ice and sit out till like midnight on a cold winter January day, and they'd spear them on a sandbar. They'd come on through and they'd spear them. And they called them lawyers, and that was back in probably the 70s back then. Now, it's funny, I had some guys out fishing with me a couple years back, and somehow the topic turned to burbot, eel pout, and I said, well, yeah, you know, they call those lawyers, right? And these guys with me, I had three lawyers in the boat, and they go, oh yeah, right, lawyers, oh, funny. And I said, no, I'm not trying to rip on you, that they really call them lawyers.
Yeah,
I don't think they believe me.
In Minnesota, they have a huge ice fishing event called the Eel Pout Open or something like that. And that's what they fish for. That's what you get prizes for, is for catching the eel pout, burbot,
so,
lawyers, whatever. But I think the correct name that's like in a scientific book, I think, is called ling cod, L-I-N-G cod, ling cod. That's
ling cod.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you'd order at a Chinese restaurant.
Well,
yeah.
There's some places down in Louisiana, that's the fish that they use when they fry fish. That's one of the fish. That's not the only one, but that's just one of the fish that they use, and they call them ling cods.
You know how you can tell? If you're ice fishing, tip-up fishing, you'll sometimes catch them when you're fishing for pike with dead bait. On Lake of the Woods, we'd catch quite a bit of them, and then we'd throw them for the eagles to eat. We didn't realize they were good. But when they tip up goes up, if you go up to it, it won't be running like a pike. It'll just barely turn, a little bit of a turn here and there. And we went up one year, and we all caught big pike, and my buddy Scott caught nothing but lawyers. And so by the end of the trip, we were calling him Burbot Boy because that's all he could catch. He hated it.
Yeah, when I used to ice fish, now we would fish on Winnebago, and we'd catch a lot of them. And the first time I kept them, And they're a pain in the butt to clean, and you don't get a lot on them from them. They got a real big stomach and skinny body, you know. But I'll tell you what, those are excellent eating fish. I would never throw one back or throw it away. They're excellent. But right now, Danny, we got the top of the hour, and we got a second hour of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors to come up. So, folks, hold on to your hats. I don't know why, if you're wearing a hat indoors. But anyway, hold on to your hats. We'll be right back with more right here on 1250 AM The Fan.
From the heart. The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Outdoor Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We do appreciate you, and we do appreciate our listeners making us the number one outdoor radio show in Wisconsin. And if you don't know it by now, we're the only two-hour live talk show about the outdoors in Wisconsin. So we appreciate you taking a ride on the crazy train with us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., and if you want to be a part of the show, you got any questions or comments, all you have to do is call us at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. But if you're a little shy, you don't want to be on the radio, just give us an email at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Anyway, we've got a special guest. I hope he's on the line. His name is Kevin, and I apologize. I don't know Kevin's last name. He's from Jiffy Ice Company right here in Wisconsin. Sam, do we have Kevin on the line?
Yes, he is.
Oh, good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are
you
guys?
How long have you been at Jiffy?
I've been at Jiffy about 2.5 years.
Okay, so I didn't meet you. A number of years ago, I did. I used to do the show Outdoor Wisconsin, and I did a show at Jiffy. And went through the whole plant looking at your whole operation. And I'll tell you what, that was awesome. You should invite, you know, the public to go on tours. That was really neat. It was pretty neat, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, yeah. My name's Dan Bush. And I will say this, the old ad for Jiffies, they used to say nothing runs like a Jiffy. That's true. I've got an old 10-inch Jiffy power auger, and that son of a gun is just, like, unbelievable. I've used it in Canada. I've used it for years and really great products. But nowadays, it's not like the old days where we all had the gas motors. We've got – you guys have a lot of innovations now from, what, propane, electric, anything you can share with us and what's new and great in the industry.
Yeah, certainly the lakes have quieted down, right? People have gone to the ion lithium ion battery a lot, but you know I would say that the thing that I target, you know, as a company owner, to make sure I want to put in the hands of the angler what he wants to use, whether it's gas or propane or whether it's electric. A lot of cordless drills out there now. Guys taking their Milwaukee drills or DeWalt drills out there on the ice, and they work as well. So, yeah, our engineering team has been extremely busy. I bought the company a year and a half ago. It's right about that anniversary now. So, yeah, we've been very busy coming out with new products. Jiffy is prided itself always being in the front. And it lagged behind on the lithium ion battery just to see where that technology was going. And that's where our focus is now. But we also, we pay attention to the gas equipment as well, because there's those ANC guys out there that want that piece of equipment.
What and, about propane?
We don't think it's our place to really, you know, let him use what he wants. I have 10 different saws in my workshop. And everyone has a good purpose. So Jiffy came out with the propane in 2010, which cleaned up the ice houses so you didn't have that smell of gas. And so that's been a real good product for us.
Yeah, that, you know, for years, I mean, I don't ice fish anymore. I've got some problems with my legs and feet. But anyway, but I had the 3-horsepower Jiffy for quite a while. But then I went to the 2-horse light, and which was a lot lighter, you know, and still did a great job, you know. But I'll tell you what, I never had any one of them break down, ever. I mean, those things are, man, they're just like horses that never stop, you know.
Yeah,
you
we have a lot of we there, stories. we get stories like that all the time, you know, guys that, hey, my grandfather passed away, and we're cleaning out his garage, ran across a Jiffy, and I thought for kicks, it hasn't run for 15 years, but I put gas in it. And after 3 or 4 pulls, the thing cranked right over. And then they remember things like going fishing with their grandpa, you know, and what a special time that is.
You know, Kevin, you just reminded me of something. This 2 years ago, a friend of mine, he goes to garage sales a lot. And a guy had a power auger there. I didn't know what kind at the time. A friend of mine called me and he says, yeah, I bought this power auger for $20, but I don't know if it runs. So I went over to his house, and here he had an old Jiffy. But we cleaned it out. We put new gas in it. And you know what? It fired right up. He ended up selling it for $100.
Yeah, they certainly do sell out there on Craigslist or eBay or
yeah, it was awesome.
How about Kevin? We talked about different fuel sources to power the augers. Anything new technology wise as far as blades and the augers themselves and cutting technology?
Yeah, we're the only ones that use a real true ripper blade. We're more you're chipping the ice as well as cutting it. There's a lot of shaving blades out there, and the guys that use the shaving blades, there's nothing wrong with that technology other than, they dull faster. A Jiffy ice auger, you can cut on angles if you're river fishing, which we certainly have here in Wisconsin. You can also reopen holes, and with a shaving blade, that's a little bit more difficult. The technology with the coatings have come a long, long way, and that'll be the next step with different coatings on materials, and that'll help also with sometimes you get balling. When the auger is just the ice, because when you break through the ice, of course, it's a lot softer there near the water, and that's where you really need that extra defreezing, if you will, agent on the blade.
Yeah, we're talking to Kevin. Kevin, what's your last name?
Witter, W-I-D-D-E-R.
We're talking to Kevin Witter from Jiffy Ice Augers. And, Kevin, now you make most of your stuff right there in the factory. You make it on site, but you don't make your own batteries, right?
No. And, a lot of the batteries are imported from China. Of course, you've had, different regulations now with trying to get the trade agreements in a more fair situation. So now there's tariffs that are imposed. But we make everything. We make everything else. The handles and the gear casings and all that stuff. That's made right here in Sheboygan Falls. And that's one of the things that we're really proud of. I bought the company a year and a half ago, and one of the important things was to make sure that we had good customer service because people pay a lot of money for these products.
And, right. Well. Do you still have that ability where if somebody's got a problem, I remember you used to have it, but if they got a problem with their Jiffy ice auger and they can bring it out to your place and you'll, you got some people to look it over and try to take care of it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're open from 7:30 to 4:30 every day, our service center. But you can call and we'll set up a special appointment. I mean, some guys have fishing trips planned to Canada or what have you, or someplace where it's more difficult to, they want to just make sure it's all tuned up. Absolutely. Give us a call. We're happy to take care of it. A lot of times too, those visits, we want the guy to be on the ice fishing because at the end of the day, he's got limited time. It's a limited season here in Wisconsin. And you want to be out on the ice fishing. With your buddies. And so that's our goal is really to get you back on the ice and make sure your equipment is performing at a really top performance.
Kevin, I can testify to your good service there just from stories I've gotten from friends of mine who stopped out at your place and you guys went above and beyond expectations. I had one friend told me the story that, you know, all the extra things you did, not only did you get it up and running, they did extras, and I mean, it was really reasonable, and he was nothing but impressed with that service when he stopped in there. So it's great that you guys can do that, because I think that means a lot to the fishermen. You are right. When we got a trip planned, you know, we need to have that auger working, and so the fact that you guys can help. And I also got to put in a plug for your Jiffy tune-up kit. You know, I bought one a couple of years ago, and because my auger was getting a little bit older, starting to sputter a little bit, I thought I'd need a new carburetor. I bought the tune-up kit, which consisted of a oil and I guess a hotter burning spark plug. Put that in there, and it ran as good as brand new. So kudos to you guys on that. I've been telling everybody I know that those kits really work.
Yeah, I'm amazed at the amount of tune-up kits and oil that we sell in a year. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It, you know, a lot of guys that fish are tradesmen, you know, and they know, understand equipment and taking care of equipment. So, you know, and we run specials early in the year where we'll, you know, get your auger to us. You know, some guys mail them in too, and that works sometimes. But, you know, bringing it in, I mean, we love to see people, I mean, and hear the stories. I mean, who doesn't like sharing a fishing story? So.
Exactly. So we're talking with Kevin Witter, of the owner of Jiffy Ice Drills. And Kevin, we got a break coming up here. We do appreciate you taking the time to spend with us this Saturday morning. And I hope you'll have time to spend with us again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really enjoyed it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And with that, folks, we got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors right here on 1250 AM The Fan.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors, and we want to thank all our friends out there listening. Maybe you're out on the ice using the Jiffy, firing up some holes right now as you listen to us. In fact, Tom, years ago, I went up to Zippel Bay, and we were doing exactly that. We were listening to you on the air in my truck while we were drilling holes and setting up tip-ups.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, but yeah,
right,
it was
now,
weird,
it
I'll tell you.
For the NFL football picking contest, which we have every week right after the 7:15 break. So I forgot to mention it before, so we need a contestant. It's brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake, and you can win a $10 gift certificate by either tying or beating Bushy, Sam, and myself. So all you got to do is call 799-1250 right now, 414-799-1250. Sam will let us know when we have a contestant, Danny, so we can keep on talking about other stuff.
So here's the other stuff right now. They're getting some walleyes on Pewaukee Lake here. On the east end, right at sundown till about 7:30 at night. The guys have been getting, I talked to a guy who got five the other night, although only one keeper, getting them on medium and even large shiners. And it doesn't sound like they've needed to finesse them a whole lot as far as downsizing. I think he said they are using, I think, 10-pound mono leader. They're, but pretty basic setups. And like I said, I've got active pike, you know, chomping out here yesterday, which was great. So you can get out, do some ice fishing. Stay, you know, we're fishing relatively close to shore, not going out. I wouldn't go out in front of the dam out here. I always avoid that. But there's some spots where you go on out there and you can find some safe ice and set some tip-ups, throw a frisbee or a football, and get ready for a flag.
Here we got a couple of emails.
Oh, Tommy, we got a contestant. Oh,
we got a contestant? Okay, we'll do the emails after this. Who do we have, Sam?
Today we got Jerry from Brown Deer.
All right. Good morning, Jerry from Brown Deer.
Well, how you doing, Sam?
You got to tell us what the point spread is, because you got to beat us by the point spread.
Packers are favored by 5.5 points, but unfortunately, a couple days ago, David Bakhtiari did go down with a torn ACL, so there is that.
Yeah. Okay, Packers are favored by 5.5. Jerry, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to take the Packers because they played three games.
Good.
Even though he lost one without Bakhtiari, but I think they can do it.
Yeah, I know the last couple of weeks our contestants have been picking the other teams and they've been getting burnt. So, anyway, Bushy, who do you got?
Well, I think, the Packers will win by a touchdown at least.
Yeah, I think so too. Sam?
Yeah, I think Packers and they mightily cover.
Yeah, I think we all have to go with the Packers. Me too. So the only way you could lose this, Jerry, is if the Bears beat the Packers or if the Packers don't cover the spread.
But I think that'd be terrible.
I think it's pretty safe you're going to win this one.
All right.
All right. Well, good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Danny, and by the way, Jerry's going to win a $10 gift certificate, hopefully, to I'm having a brain fart.
You just couldn't bring yourself to take the Bears, could you?
No, this time I couldn't.
You are such a homer.
I know I am. But that would have guaranteed pub.
That would have guaranteed his win.
Yeah, gonna win a $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub. Okay, here we go, Danny. Email from Ken, regular listener Ken. He says, I think you can get an app for your cell phone that would work for Buzzy. Yeah, Buzzy. Not Bushy, Buzzy, he calls you. That would work for Buzzy ice fishing out of his house. Flag pops up, phone rings. You've heard of those, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they've got apps for everything these days.
Yeah.
That probably wouldn't be a bad idea. You know what I do have, Tom, is I bought these tip-up lights, right? And the same thing as when I had tip-up lights 30 years ago. They never seem to work right. Sometimes it pops up, it turns on. Then other times, no, it's not. Now it looks like I got to replace some batteries. It's always been the same story with those doggone things.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Here's another one. This is from my friend Bob Garfinkel. And Bob says, Tom, if you have time, Tom and Dan, if you have time, ask Dale Stroshine about the monster muskie caught through the ice in Door County a few years ago. Multiple holes were drilled. Fish was landed, a quick picture taken, and fish released. So I didn't know of a monster one caught through the ice, but we'll ask Dale about that.
There was that one caught many, 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 many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that allegedly weighed 55 pounds, caught out a little sturgeon, and they had to drill extra holes to get it through, and then the guy kept it, and it was confiscated by the DNR in Fond du Lac, I believe, at a taxidermist place.
Oh. Yeah.
That was a giant, 55 pounds, I believe, on a bathroom scale.
Wow. Well, we do have Dale Stroshine coming up after the 7:30 break, so we'll be able to ask him about that at the time, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Okay. What's our next email?
Oh, that's it then, I think.
That's it?
Yeah, let me just press a button and see. Yes, okay. That's it. Okay. And now I'm doing a few other computer things here.
As far as when we do get Dale on, I really am looking forward to talking to him because that guy is amazing. He is just a wealth of knowledge. When he was on a couple of weeks ago and he talked about thermal pockets, out where you got to be careful when you go out on the ice because there can be warm pockets and whether it, froze up quick because of the weather and different factors. I found that really interesting. So, in addition to his great fishing knowledge, he knows a lot too as far as the bay up there and how to stay safe.
Yeah, I got a question for our audience as far as to the ice anglers out there and to you, Danny. What type of ice skimmer do you like? Do you like the short plastic, long plastic, short metal, long metal, or do you like the one that's got the chipper on the end? What kind of ice chippers do you like? And maybe our audience members will call us at 799-1250 and tell us what they like. What do you like?
I like the one that has a 10-year-old kid attached to it who can go around and clean my holes for me.
Okay. What kind do you own?
That's the kind I like. Tom, I own both. I've got a plastic one, and then I did get a real fancy one with its metal, and it's got the no stick kind of like coating on it, as far as like for the ice freezing on it, and it's got the chisel on the other end.
Yeah.
And I will put in a plug for them, long as we're at it. The BP, the gas station right here on G in Pewaukee, not only do they sell bait, but they've got a 50% off on their fishing equipment going right now. They normally do that in the spring and about this time of year. And I went in, and last year when they ran it, I got one of those skimmers, the expensive one I just mentioned. I got a bar, you know, one of the big bars as far as, you know, for chiseling out holes. And yeah, 50% off. And they've even got some Rapalas and stuff on the wall. So if you want to save yourself some money, go on over there now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jiffy makes, speaking of Jiffy, they make a skimmer that's got a chip. It's all metal handle and skimmer, and it's got the chipper on the end.
That's the one I got.
It's not that expensive. Yeah.
That's the one I got. And
yeah,
it's
the Jiffy one, huh?
It's okay. The deluxe version, my friend.
Yeah, it is. But now, do you have a 5-inch, 6, 7, 8-inch? What size, you know, do you have?
As far as the skimmer?
Yeah, the skimmer diameter, yeah.
You know, I never even realized that you even bother measuring the diameter on the skimmers.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
I thought a skimmer was just a skimmer.
Yeah, it's not just a skimmer anymore. last week we got an email right at the end of the show. I wasn't able to give it. It's from a fellow named Nick. And Nick wanted to let us know, because we were talking about how thick the ice was, and he said that Pewaukee Lake had about 4 inches of ice on the east end. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Nick. He lives right down the road from me here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
One of our regular listeners.
All right. Well, with that, we got to take a break. And coming up next, folks, we got Dale Stroshine from Sand Bay Beach Resort and Wacky Walleye Guide Service. So, you know, you definitely want to hear what he's got to say. We'll ask him a whole bunch of questions, and I'm sure he's got a whole bunch to tell us. So stay tuned, folks, for more of the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks for listening out there. We appreciate our listeners. And right now, Tom, I'm getting really excited. Looking forward to a 2021 season of fishing up on the Bay of Green Bay. And right now, what better person to talk to about it than our good friend Dale Stroshine. So good morning, Dale.
Hey, good morning,
Dale. Gentlemen.
So, Dale, I was out here catching some fish through the ice here, right here on Pewaukee Lake. Caught some pike, lost a giant muskie at the hole. What's the story up there? You guys on the water soon, or are you out there right now?
Well, first of all, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. And then, to answer your question there, guys, it's starting to take form. I just took a little ride around looking there this morning. We've got ice over in, you know, some of the bays, little Sturgeon, Riley's Bay, a little bit out in front of Sand Bay. But the main portion of the lake out there yet, we're still going to have to catch a cold day yet here with some calm weather in order for that to set up. I just rolled in last night from Colorado, so I this is the first time I've got to see what it looked like here this morning. And but it's not going to be long, that's for sure.
One of our listeners, a friend of you, you know him, Bob Garfinkel. I'm sure you do, I think. I don't know. But anyway, he wanted us to ask you about a monster muskie that was caught through the ice a number of years back, that extra holes had to be drilled so that it could come through. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I had heard some rumors on that. There's a gentleman up here, a local guy that fishes quite a bit. And I think he was back in one of the bays there. And, yeah, I did hear some rumor on that, and I did see a video on it. But I don't know any of the details, you know. But, yes, there was a big muskie caught through an ice hole.
Okay. What about your fishing, your ice fishing schools, walleye schools, and that? Is that the, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we've been doing the schools, you know, ever since I started up here. You know, with the guiding, that was something I started already, you know, decades ago. And what we do with the schools is to help the angler just become better acclimated, not only with the area, but just to become a better ice angler in general. And we'll host the people. We put them up at the resort, and then we do breakout sessions, you know, to go through different things from knot tying to whatever it is, you know, techniques and things like that, just to help the angler and, you know, as far as different areas to look for when they're out just ice fishing, as well as, you know, how to attack any of these particular bodies of water that they may be wanting to go fish and become a better angler so they can have a better experience.
Let me ask you this, Dale. For the walleye fishing, is it more a live bait thing, or is it more artificial, or a combination of both? What are you doing up there?
Well, with the walleyes, you know, they were always typically tipping the jigs with live bait. And then whitefish, you know, there we're just using a straight jig. So, and then just constantly pounding the bottom. So, yeah, it's a combination of both. And that pretty much is just straight across the board, you know, day in and day out. You know, I mean, whitefish is getting no bait. Walleyes typically are going to use some bait mixed in with it.
And now the whitefish is going to be kicking in pretty quick, and I know that can be really fast and heavy. I've heard a lot of talk about possible changes in the whitefish regulations. I mean, are people catching too many of them, or what's going on with that?
Well, I think what's happening there is, you know, it's definitely becoming more and more sought after fish, and there's a number of people wanting to target them, and it's both commercial as well as, you know, recreational. So they're just trying to figure this thing out, and they don't want to have any problems. And, you know, so kudos to those guys, you know, for wanting to do that. Now, as far as changes of the regulations go, I've not heard any whisper of that myself yet, but that's not to say that, you know, they're not doing any of that. Because I know with the whitefish, you know, we as guides are regulated on that as far as turning in reports, kind of like you have to do for your sport trolling license for Lake Michigan, where the captain there has to turn in a fishing report on what they're harvesting each day, so that the DNR can keep tabs on what's being, you know, what's going on. You know, it gives them an idea what's going on as far as the fishery goes, and then what's being harvested, so they can make better, you know, decisions on what they're going to do for the fisheries.
Now, as far as the walleye fishing, I brought up your website after we talked last time, and you do the walleye school in the spring. So I'm guessing that's right before ice out. It looks like tentatively you've got that set for March 12th to the 14th. What, as far as if a guy wants to do that school, can just a single guy do it himself, or do you need to book a couple guys to come on up and do it, or both?
Yeah, you can come by yourself to any one of our schools. I mean, you don't have to have a couple guys. You can come, you know, groups. We have groups. And the things about our schools is, you know, people come year after year after year. Many of these people that attend the schools, they just show up year after year because they have so much fun. The camaraderie is always a great time, you know, in amongst the group. We give away tons and tons of prizes, you know, new Jiffy ice drills, shelters, rods, reels. You know, and open water trips, we give away prizes, you know, fishing rods and reels. So we give away lots of prizes for the schools as well. And the guys can come up and have a good time and learn something and catch some fish. So, I mean, it's kind of a win-win for everybody with these schools. And, you know, like you said, typically our ice fishing school is scheduled late in the season. This year with the schools, you know, with what's going on with the pandemic, you know, we're not exactly sure yet what we're going to do with that. I believe we're going to hold them, but I think they're going to be just, they're going to be changed a little bit where there's not going to be so much indoor stuff. And, you know, it's going to be more outdoor stuff than we've done in the past, just with what's going on right now.
You know, it's funny you should mention Jiffy drills and that. We just were talking at 7 o'clock. We were talking with Kevin Witter, the new owner of Jiffy Ice Drills. I'm sure you've met him already, right?
Oh, yeah. Kevin, I'll tell you what. I can't begin to tell you how excited I am, guys, there with that whole new regime over there. You know, the Feldmans, they did a great job, obviously, and are the founders of, you know, the ice fishing world, if you will, for the ice drill. And but Kevin's really been doing a great job over there. And, of course, I know Kevin very well and excited. You know, guys, I've been with Jiffy Ice Drills now myself for over 30 years already. So it's a brand that I really believe in. And the one thing, Tom, as well as you know about me and Dan, is, you know, I've been with my brands for many of years because I believe in the product. I've not gone to companies that paid me to believe in the product just because I'm not that good of a liar.
Well, that's the way to go about it. You know, years ago, remember Marvin Myrtle Feldman?
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're great people. And Marv, he invented the power ice drill. He also invented the ATV. I don't know if you know that. A lot of people don't realize. Yeah, he was the first one to make an ATV. But people from, I think it was Japan, when they were looking at it, some show in Chicago where he was putting it out, they came and took a lot of pictures. Following year, they had their brands out. I don't think he had a patent on it or something like that. But, yeah, they were terrific people, very, very nice people. And
yeah.
And I'm sure years ago you went to the, I don't know what they call it now, it used to be called AFTMA, the fishing trade show,
right?
You know, that they'd have in a different part of the country, right? You'd go to those, right?
Yeah, which now is called ICAST.
Yeah, ICAST, that's it. And one time, many years ago, I was with the Producto Lure Company, and I was in their booth, and one of our accounts was Mr. Okada from Japan. And I took Mr. Okada over to meet Myrtle Feldman, because I asked him about if they ice fish in Japan. And he said, yeah, they do. But, you know, broken English, of course. So I said, you use power ice augers, you use this, you use that. And they basically use just spud bars, right? So I took them over and introduced them to Myrtle Feldman. And, you know, ever since then, he was buying products from her. So there's Jiffies in Japan being used to drill holes. Very interesting.
Hey, Dale, I got a question. We're talking about products. As far as if a guy's going to come on up there and fish the bay for, say, whitefish, walleyes, what type of gear should he bring? Do you have a preference as far as types of rods, any particular name brands, tip, whatever, what should a guy bring?
Well, you know, as far as products go, Dan, exactly, you know, what brands you're going to be using, obviously I'd love for people to be fishing with Frabel rods and reels, but it really, it's more important that you make sure that you gear you get the proper gear according to what you're targeting. I see that's a common mistake across the board, you know, with people that are going out fishing, whether it be open water or ice fishing, and just having the wrong equipment. It's really important, like I said, because it really helps you have a better experience and just helps you catch more fish in general by having the right gear. And what I mean by that is, for example, you can't be taking a heavy action rod and expect to go out there or have too heavy of line and go out there and catch panfish. You've got to use the proper gear. So you want to be using lighter lines, like 4 pound, 3 pound, maybe 5 or 6 pound line at the biggest as far as if you're going after panfish, with an ultra light or a light or medium light at best action. And then vice versa, if you're going after walleyes or, you know, something of bigger size, that's where you're going to want to go up to like a maybe a medium action rod with maybe 6-8 pound test line, or even maybe a little bit heavier depending on what size fish you're going after. And then the same thing goes with like terminal tackle. So if you're going to be using, you know, you're going after smaller fish again, you want to be using lighter terminal tackle, smaller terminal tackle. But, you know, for example, if you're going after walleyes, open water, I've seen guys where they're using these giant snap swivels when they're trolling. You want to be using very, very small snap swivels. All of these things at the end of the day are things that can really help you have a better experience. And that's where a guide comes in handy, is having them show you the ropes on, as far as just what kind of locations you're going to be looking for, what type of techniques to be using, so that then you can go out there and have a better experience, like I said, the rest of the time on your trip while you're in that area.
When we come back after the break, Dale, you can hang on, I hope. We're talking to Dale Strohschein from Wacky Walleye Guide Service, and when we come back after the break, we want to talk a little bit about electronics and how important they are in finding the fish for you in the wintertime. So you can hold on, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Hey, guys. Bart Winkler. Catch me weekday morning 6 to 10 on The Fan, the oldest.
The final countdown. The final countdown.
Welcome back. Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors Show, and I'm Dan Bush, along with Tom Neubauer and our special guest, Dale Strohschein. So, Tom, I think you had some questions on electronics there, buddy.
Well, I just wanted to know how Dale feels about how important it is to have good electronics on the ice.
Well, you know, definitely when it comes down to electronics, that is a essential piece of equipment that one needs to have, you know, as far as when it comes down to ice fishing. You know, these types of things like that, Tom and Dan, can again just help you have a better experience out on the water. But it's also equally important to know, you know, when to use them and maybe when not to use them. And, you know, for example, if a guy's going out and targeting, you know, like crappies and bluegills, these are a type of fish that are moving continually in the water column. And it's essential to make sure that you've got a graph so that you can keep your bait presented in front of those fish. And, you know, just like perch, you know, there again, it's an important piece of equipment. Walleye now, on the other hand, just so you know, Tom, over the years, I'm kind of funny when it comes down to electronics. I always look at electronics a little bit differently for walleye than I do for panfish, that type of fishing. Sometimes I feel as though having electronics for walleye fishing can hurt you more than it's going to help you, just because you're targeting trophy walleyes. If you're targeting trophy walleyes, if you're going after smaller walleyes, it really doesn't matter. And here's kind of what happens with that and why I say that. When these big walleyes come into a cone angle, I firmly believe that they've been around the block before, and they can feel it and they hear it. And they then just continually swim away and you don't get bit. And I've seen this too many times over my decades of being on the ice. And so it's, again, it's an important piece of equipment. You absolutely want to have them. But again, also make sure that if you get out there one day and you're fishing big walleyes and you're not getting bit, turn that graph off, because they typically just stay right close to the bottom, and you know where you need to be, and just go old school on them. Sometimes going old school can be way better. And just so you understand where I'm coming from on this, it's kind of like, for those that are listening, it's kind of like hunting trophy whitetails. The number one mistake you make when you go after a mature whitetail is that you let them wind you. Once they wind you, they never come back. And it's the same thing with a mature walleye.
Wow, that's, you know, that I've never heard that before, that they can detect electronics. Now, Do you think that applies for open water fishing for him as well, or is it more so with the ice fishing?
I really think when it comes down to, you know, ice fishing, they're well aware of their surroundings. Everything's dead still. When you think about this, Dan, you and Tom, you got 3,600 watts of power in any graph that's just about built today. And it goes down to the bottom and comes back a lot of times, two times that frequency before it actually marks on your graph if you're on a hard bottom. And when you think about it, a walleye can feel, a fish can feel a swing in a barometer. The other thing you got to think about is how many times have you ever been out swimming on a lake and all of a sudden you hear something and you're like, oh my God, it sounds like a boat's going to run me over. And you come up from underneath the water and you look around and you see the outboards 2 miles across the lake because sound travels so easily through water. And think about how loud a transducer is on a graph. When you set it in the water, all you hear is tick, 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 tick. Well, when a mature walleye comes in, they feel it. I believe they hear it, and it's an immediate red flag. And you got to understand, now I'm not saying you can't catch a big walleye using a graph, but when you've got a lot of inclement weather, these fish are well aware of their surroundings and more on top of their game. And like I said, this is something that I've watched and experienced myself for decades on the ice, where I've got 10, 15, 20 guys sitting there, and three big walleyes are caught out of the entire group, and the only guys that caught the fish were without the grass. So there's something more to it, and I may not be exactly on with this, but there's something to it, and just be well aware of when to use it. Dan, do you golf for Tom? Do you guys golf?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of it, yeah.
Well, let me explain it this way. You've got all these clubs in the bag. You've got irons and woods, right? And when you play around the golf, there's many a times there's clubs that never leave the bag. And it's because you have to play that club according to your experience. And it's the same thing with golf, but you got to have those clubs because at some point you're going to need that iron or you're going to need that driver. And so, again, you got to have all the equipment. But if you want to take your game to the next level, it's as important to know when to play those particular items as well.
Dale, I always love talking to you because I learn something new every time. I guess we got about 30 seconds left. We got to go. But I sure hope we can talk to you again, and great luck with the season.
Yeah, good luck, Dale.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Thank Have a great
you.
Day.
Okay, bye now. Well, Danny, I guess that's it.
That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll talk to you all next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.